What a privilege and a blessing to gather together with God's people in a weekend like this, to think on all of the blessings that we've already received. I thank our dear brother Lauren for his time and study to prepare the leadership seminar, for the other brethren that have put many hours and prayers and thoughts and time into preparing lessons for us, for the time focused in on God's Word. As I consider the next session, the next direction that we want to consider, for we believe, therefore we speak. When I saw what Robert had sent out as an email of all of the different topics he wanted the men from the state to think on, to speak on, I read the list to myself, and then, as many of the other preachers probably did, I read the list out loud to my wife, and she said, "I know exactly what you should speak on," and I said, "I know exactly what I want to speak on." And she and I both thought the same thing. Here we are, foreigners in this land, serving an awesome God. The text verse that we're going to be focusing on this morning is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. If you have your copy of the Lord's Word, I'd encourage you to turn over there. I'm going to be taking you to many places, but that is where we're going to find our home this morning. We are ambassadors, Paul tells us. Therefore, on behalf of Christ, as though God were entreating by us, we beseech you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. As Nora said, sometimes we want to go to a little more familiar translation. The ESV renders this, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. As I took some time in... There we go. We are not active. There we are. I took some time to look at the classifieds this past week, and one just really jumped out at me. Down here in the valley, it's a little bit of a different situation because they wanted a high-energy person with a positive outlook, forward-thinking, with the ability to prioritize, needed to represent a king as a messenger, as an agent in a matter of grave importance. Of the skill set that you have to have, you need the ability to give glory to, not reproach, the king's name through outstanding behavior. That's a must. The compensation is incalculable, and it's all given at job completion. There's an unequaled benefit package, and certainly an equal opportunity employer. When we think about the idea of being an ambassador, I want us to consider this morning perhaps what that job description entails for each of us. As we look at some of the practical applications at the close of our lesson, I want us to begin by considering what this role is that God has prepared each of us, or is preparing each of us for. Because as this verse begins, we're going to look at this text in a number of different ways and pulling out in the white what we're thinking about. We are ambassadors. An ambassador is one who acts and who speaks on behalf of someone else, but also in the place of that sovereign from whom he has received his commission. Now, it's the duty of that ambassador to proclaim faithfully and precisely the message that has been entrusted to him by the sovereign. He doesn't speak of his own authority. He doesn't speak his own mind. He doesn't speak his own opinions. What he communicates are the demands of his king. simply the things that he has been told to speak, commanded to proclaim. Such men as Paul did deliver direct messages from heaven. He identifies in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, at the end of verse 37, he says, "Take knowledge of the things which I write unto you, that they are the commandment of the Lord." Or in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, "And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but what it really is, the word of God." If the apostles found it so necessary to faithfully portray unto the men that they were teaching the word of God, how much more so should you and I consider that an obligation? 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 says, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth." Later on in that same letter, "Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching." We've heard that verse mentioned over and over throughout the course of this weekend because it is true. Because it is true. "Whoever speaks," Peter says, "speak as one who speaks the oracles of God." In a sense, every Christian is to represent God as an ambassador. And to this very day, we're standing on the shoulders of some giants. Men, you know, I look at older men like Lauren. I consider Mike Shiro to be a mentor and a friend. I'm sure there are many of you that are older than me that I have spent many hours in looking to. And they, in their stories that they've shared with me, spent many hours with men that were older than them. And I'm sure that if we were to ask them, they spent many hours with men of God, faithful men of God who were before them. And the goal of each of us is to faithfully pass on to the next generation what God would have us to speak, the word of God, as of the oracles of God. Jesus, in Matthew 5 and verse 16, in the Sermon on the Mount, told us to, in the same way, "Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Paul in Philippians 2:15 says, "Be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." This is what it is to be an ambassador. So as ambassadors, as we take a moment to assess the idea of being an ambassador, let's consider the job. The job description of ambassadors is, we're going to look at five aspects of it this morning. And the first aspect I want us to consider is that we need to represent the dignity, the honor, and the righteousness of the one who you represent. And trust me, the one that we go to represent is truly honorable. It is the most dignified, God above all gods. Righteousness, like we can't even comprehend. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where our text is found this morning, just before that text, it says that they who live should no longer live for themselves. Paul's almost defining for us what an ambassador is. No longer living for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. What Paul wants us, what he finds it essential for us to understand in our role as ambassadors, is that we recognize that we are not representing ourselves. When you go into the world taking a message, it's not taking a message as David. It's not taking a message as Dave Olson. It's not taking a message as Mark. It's not taking a message as Rocky. You represent God. So many people They want to go out as Americans. Or if you're from Texas, you go out as Texans. I have enough family from there. I know how they think. But we don't. We don't. I may have a map of America as our backdrop for our thoughts this morning, but we don't go into the world as Americans when we take the gospel. In fact, there are many nations that should probably be bringing the gospel to Americans. There are enough of us here that need to hear the word. We go out as ambassadors for Christ. And as an ambassador of Christ, I don't have the luxury of being myself. I don't have the luxury of being this weird antisocial kook that others may think me to be. I must understand that I present to the world a picture of God. I present to the world a picture of His kingdom. Paul says, "Be ye imitators of me as I am of Christ." And this picture that we bring to the world can either be a clear picture or it can be a distorted picture. Here's your proud privilege as a Christian. Almost a terrifying responsibility to be an imitator of Jesus Christ. See, the honor of Christ is placed in your hands. The honor of His church. How do you represent Him? By your every word, by your every action. You can make men think more of God's church, or you can make men think less of God's church. That's a lot of power. That's a lot of responsibility. And as they think more or less of the church of God that you represent, they will think more or less of the God over that church whom you represent. Which is really why the second aspect in this job description means that we need to speak of God's glory and not our own. In that verse that Jesus spoke in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works, but not so that they may glorify you." Notice, it doesn't say they see your good works and glorify you. The world wants to do that. The world wants to give the credit to the one whom they see doing good things. But when you do God's things God's way, they see you doing those things and they glorify God. That's how we do it right as an ambassador, because they recognize that you are representing Him. You're not representing yourself. What do we really spend most of our time doing and saying? Are we focused on building up God's reputation in our lives? Or are we seeking our own personal glory? Now, I think we all here know what we ought to be doing, but the question is, what are we doing? Can we honestly declare that we are making God look good through the way that I live my life? Is that at the top of my priority list? We should be able to. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20 continues to say that we're ambassadors, therefore, on behalf of Christ. That's what it's all about. We are representing Christ. Here's a little food for thought. How dare we alter, change, or reduce the word that has been committed unto us? How dare we act as if we're dealing with men, or let men think that they're only dealing with us? When Paul ends this verse, "Be ye reconciled to God," what he's doing, he's using the aorist tense. That's a tense that implies the immediate acceptance of the offer of reconciliation. He says, do it, be reconciled to God, and do it now. What Paul is saying to you and I is that we need to get reconciled to God immediately. And it's only when we're truly reconciled with God that we can truly be representatives on behalf of Jesus Christ. Removing ourselves entirely from the equation. How awesome it is when you can hear the word of God preached, and at the end, all you heard was the word of God. We have so many different speakers that are going to be sharing messages with you this weekend, and I pray that when the weekend is over, you don't think, man, I like that David. Or I like that Tony. He sure can speak. Or how the passion of Paul. Man, those stories were moving last night. I hope all you think is Jesus Christ was glorified this weekend. That's our goal. Each and every one of us that shares the message, that's taken the time and thought and prayer, our goal is that you see Jesus Christ. We need to realize that this is who we are. And that's really what the third aspect of the job description is, and to go and make known His will. His will. When we're speaking, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11 tells us that whoever speaks, let him speak as it were the utterances of God, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. People need to realize that as a Christian, I can't cut any deals in the spiritual realm with the people that I've been sent to. I can't offer discounted salvation. There's no such thing as cheap grace. The world wants us to believe all you need to do is say a prayer. Repentance may be optional. Just keep living the way you always have. But as long as you say the prayer, you're good. Baptism is optional. You know, maybe we'll still use it to identify your initiation into our group, but Peter didn't believe that. Jesus didn't believe that. Neither should you and I. Neither can I give unbelievers any false hopes. False hopes have been offered, such as your loved ones who have passed away. Well, maybe they'll get a second chance after death. Maybe hell might not be eternal. Maybe grace will cover some habitual sin that's not renounced. Maybe people who aren't obedient will end up in heaven. My heart is full of sorrow when I think about the lost. I hope yours is too. But I don't have authority anywhere to give false hope, because I'm not speaking what my heart wants to speak. I speak the heart of God. I will contend to you today that it's the same message that Paul felt an urgency to teach and not to change. I believe that Paul preached the message, the gospel message, so very succinctly, so very powerfully in four verses in the beginning of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel that I preached to you. Preachers love this when the Bible tells us what he's about to say. This is the gospel that I preach to you, which you received, in which you stand, by which you are saved. If you hold fast to the word I preach to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins. In accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance by the scriptures. This is what Paul preached as the gospel. And as our text continues, we see that as though God were entreating by Paul, God were entreating by you. God is making his appeal through you. What a wonderful thought. Paul was divinely inspired. Oh, how there are some days when I wish I could wake up and be divinely inspired. But as Paul was divinely inspired, God did appeal very directly through Paul. And when we take the words that Paul, through that divine inspiration, shares with us, and we take them and share them with another, in a sense, we're allowing God to entreat through us as well. This is how we faithfully make known the will of the King. These are the people that He has sent us to. This is the role that He has entrusted to us. And this is very serious, not only in the content of the message that we present, but we must also very faithfully represent His passion. The gospel that Paul preached was not an intellectual gospel only. Sure, there's a lot that you can think about, and there's a lot of intellect there, but Paul was a man of passion. Paul says, "We beseech you." That is an intensely emotional word. As I looked at this word, as I tried to think about what is the meaning behind this, it's been translated as to entreat. The idea of we beg you, we implore of you. It's the same type of intensity that Jesus Himself would entreat the lost with if He were there today. That's what He wants you to give to the people. We should warn the way Jesus would warn. We should urge the way Jesus would urge. We also need to admonish the way Jesus would admonish. We don't only share His communication with the world, we share His concern, His love for the lost, His compassion for God's people, and His hatred of evil. We live in a world where evil is more and more being called good. In the name of tolerance, God's word is being thrown out from our schools. God's word is being thrown out from our halls of government. God's word is being thrown out from the halls of some churches. Because we've lost the passion that Jesus had. And this is how we are to adequately put into practice that through imitation. Jesus Christ. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Be imitators of God as beloved children. Paul knew that we were supposed to imitate Christ. Imitate God. And as imitators, it leads us into the final aspect of the job description, and perhaps one that some of you may just want to get up and leave, because we are told to be morally blameless. Be morally blameless. Paul, in writing to the church at Philippi in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15, says, "So that you may prove yourselves to be blameless, to be innocent, children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation." But the role that he gave you was to be a light in that world. And I cannot be faithfully representing Christ in the world while engaging in sin at the same time. The two are incompatible. As Christians, we need to recognize that sin has to be purged from our lives in order to faithfully represent God as an ambassador. How can I present God to the world? A God in whom there is no darkness at all. 1 John 1:5 says plainly, God is light, in Him there is no darkness at all. You can't say it more clear than that. And when we're living according to the job description of an ambassador, we don't do it alone. We can't say this job can't be done. because it's been done many times before, and we stand in good company when we do it. Consider for a few moments, we're going to turn the world upside down. Look to the lands of the Bible and see all of the different places where God sent ambassadors within the pages of the Scriptures. Look at Abram, sent from Ur of the Chaldees into this new land, a land that he did not know. And Abram was an ambassador that stood for right when all others succumbed to wrong. Even in his family, Lot, you know the story. God says of Abram, the Lord said to Abram, go from your country, from your kindred, from your father's house. Go to the land that I will show you. Abram was an ambassador for God. Jonah was sent to Nineveh, to Assyria. He got on a boat. You don't have to get on a boat to go to Assyria from the land of Israel. You know, if you know the Fertile Crescent, Assyria would have been up near the top of the Fertile Crescent. There's no big body of water in between there. Maybe the Sea of Galilee, but that's about it. Noah was going the other direction. And the book begins with a prophet minding his own business in the midst of Israel. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city. Call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. God is saying to Jonah, be my ambassador. Speak my words to that city. Jonah was sent to a foreign land for the purpose of preaching a gospel of repentance. That's something I think we can relate to. Jonah didn't want to. Also something I think we can relate to many times. And his fears were very realized when his ambassadorship was successful. Jonah was one who preached a gospel of repentance and the people listened. Isn't that what we want, preachers? That's what he feared. Paul was sent into foreign lands. Paul probably traveled to more places for the purpose of preaching the gospel than you or I ever will. And he probably put a whole lot more energy and effort into it than you or I ever will. We're so lazy, get into our cars and drive, get into an airplane, go around the world. Paul had to walk, maybe had a horse, that was about it, or a donkey. He was used by God in order to lay the foundation of God's church in more cities than I can possibly think of. Galatians chapter 1, as Paul is describing this ambassadorship, he says, I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through revelation of Jesus Christ. He continues on in verse 16, and God was pleased to reveal his son to me, in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles. Do you ever think that the reason that you're a Christian today, the reason that you know about God and Jesus Christ, his son today, is so that you might be able to take it to someone else? That's what it's about. That's why we're here. And in fact, as these men were ambassadors for God, one of the things I want to encourage you as members of God's church today to do is we're going to consider some of the ambassadors next were raised to know God in their youth. Faithfully teach God to your children, because when these parents taught God to their children when they were young, one of them was sent to Egypt, not by his own choice. Sold by his brothers. Didn't have a choice to be a foreigner in a strange land. But he did his best with it. Look at all that he accomplished for God. If you look at the story of Joseph in Genesis chapter 37, you can read how he was sold. And as we consider his story with the slant of thinking about Joseph being an ambassador, We need to remember God was always watching over Joseph, everywhere he went through, every circumstance that he went through. And you could preach a whole series of sermons on Joseph. We're not going to do that this morning. But when his father died at the very end of Genesis, the interaction that takes place between Joseph and his brothers is very revealing of the attitude of an ambassador. And that's what I want us to take home from Joseph this morning. In Genesis chapter 50 and verses 19 and 20, Joseph's brothers are afraid that now that their father is dead, that he's gonna have vengeance on them. And Joseph said to them, "Do not fear, for I am in the place of God. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God, he meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today." Joseph, as an ambassador for God, wasn't out to get back at his brothers because that's what his will might have wanted to do. But he wasn't living out his will. He was living out God's will in his life. You know, from Egypt, another man left, Moses, raised in the foreign king's palace, raised by his mother for a few short years, but he never forgot who he really belonged to. Sure, when God called Moses, there was a bit of a tussle between him and God as to what exactly he was supposed to be doing. But God said in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 10, "Come, I will send you to Pharaoh so that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." That's what an ambassador was being sent to do. Daniel was taken in chains to a foreign land, but he knew who his God was. And he served faithfully in the midst of numerous temptations, even in the face of the death of all the wise men in Babylon. Daniel describes to us almost the perfect role of an ambassador, a role that we should all aspire to. In Daniel chapter 2, verses 26 to 30, the king says to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, "Are you able to make known to me the dream that I have seen and its interpretation?" Daniel answered and said to the king, "No wise man, no enchanterer, no magician, no astrologer can show to the king the mystery that the king has asked. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries and has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head as you lay in bed are these. To you, O king, as you lay in bed came thoughts of what would be after this. And he who reveals mysteries made known to you what is to be. But as for me, this mystery has been revealed to me not because of any wisdom that I have more than all the living, but in order that the interpretation may be known to the king and that you may know the thoughts of your mind. I'm not wiser than any other man, but God needs you to know the message. And so God has sent an ambassador to you." Daniel didn't speak his own words. Daniel didn't speak for his own benefit, even though it did benefit Daniel. The fact that all of the wise men weren't killed in Babylon was good for him. He spoke because God needed him to communicate something. And he was the vessel that God used. This is who we are as Christians. Vessels. Ambassadors to bring the king's message. Not all ambassadors are so unforgettable. Consider with me the unnamed prophet in 1 Kings chapter 13. Perhaps you don't even recall this man of God. The story just kind of comes and goes in the pages of the Kings. He was sent from Judah into the northern kingdom to take a message to Jeroboam. He faithfully delivered that message, and he left by another route as he was instructed to. He was to give the message, not linger, not take anything from the king, no food, no drink, return home by another route. And yet, this man of God was enticed by an older prophet, a man who falsely lured him back to his home for a meal. Perhaps in a twist of irony within the pages of the Kings, the old man did receive a true prophecy from God when the young prophet came to him. true prophecy declaring the death, the untimely end to that young prophet's life, because he wasn't faithful as an ambassador. He didn't listen to all that God told him to do. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be like that young, unnamed ambassador. So as we draw nearer to a close this morning, I want to give you some practical tools. As we are ambassadors for God, the key really is going to be communication. Everybody, you got two hands. You got a Bible hand and you got a prayer hand. And these hands that you have with you, wherever you're going to go and speak God's word, could you just do me a favor and take your hands with you? Most of you have two hands. I didn't see anybody that was missing one. Some are missing it, and you can still take the message faithfully. But these hands can help you remember how to communicate with God. And the communication, in one hand, is the Bible hand. And on the Bible hand, we all, Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. That's you got to remember, you got to hear what God has to say. In order to do that, you really have to pick up his book. Read it. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3 says, blessed is he that reads, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for their time is at hand. Hearing and reading are all good. As you do that more and more, eventually, before you know it, you're studying. Acts chapter 17, verse 11 says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all readiness of mind. They searched the scriptures daily. As they were reading and reading and reading, they ended up being studiers. They were checking to see whether those things were so. And guess what? The more that you read and read and read and you study it, eventually you're not even going to know it, and you memorized something because you spent so much time there. Psalm chapter 119, a beautiful, beautiful psalm about the word of God. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law doth he meditate day and night. Sorry. Let me go to Psalm 119. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hidden mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. See, Psalm chapter 1 was then after we memorize it all, then we're going to just be thinking about it. Thinking and thinking and thinking. And the more you think about something, spend a lot of time thinking about something, guess what? You're meditating. His delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree that's planted by rivers of water, that brings forth his fruit in its season. His leaf shall also not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall he prosper. And so as we read the word of God, as God is communicating to us, you know, I put it in reverse order from what Lauren had. Lauren had us talking to God first, and then listening to God. Well, when we pray to God, we begin with praise. What I'm doing is I'm voicing my awe and wonder about who God is. Psalm 146 says, praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Be thankful. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20 says, give thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. As I intercede for others, Ephesians chapter 6 says, pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. For me. Pray for me. That utterance may be given unto me. It's a prayer of preachers. Pray for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly. And my goal is to make known the mystery of the gospel. Did you know prayer? Paul asked us to pray for him? Preachers, do you ask your churches to pray for you? Churches, do you pray for your preachers? Please do. Petition God. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 27. Hannah prayed for this child. I prayed. And the Lord has given me my petition, which I asked of him. And perhaps the hardest thing to communicate to God is our sin. But perhaps one of the most important things. Not because he doesn't know it already, but because he needs you to acknowledge it. We confess our sins. God's faithful. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from whatever. All. What a beautiful word in this verse. To cleanse us from all. That includes my sin. That includes your favorite sin of choice. You know what it is. To cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So this is designed to help us to remember. Wherever you go, take your hands with you. Speak the word of God. Be an ambassador for God. Because as our verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20 concludes, as we've already alluded to, this is what it's all about. Immediacy. The urgency. Be reconciled to God. And if you're not reconciled to God today, what are you waiting for? An engraved invitation? God has engraved it upon His Word. He wants to write His Word upon your heart. Be ye reconciled to God. Get your hands ready to be used by God today. Thank you.